P.S. I Love Hoffman is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rock!
I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Cody.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun!
Tommy.
It's a cave thing.
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish!
I'm always home, I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
Hey, Hoff fans. Welcome to P.S. I Still Love Hoffman, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm still Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm still Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk all things Philip Seymour Hoffman and beyond. We're literally in your former home, Kyle, but
yeah,
this was kind of the birthplace of P.S. I Love Hoffman.
It was. We recorded quite a few episodes here, and also, I thought you were going to go in a different direction. Not a different direction, but say something a little different, which, like, this is the kind of the birthplace of me, like, falling in love with the big guy.
You true, know? And true.
His,
we're talking about
my
big
film.
Bedroom, yeah.
Yes, and my big film collection is behind you, and there's quite a few of his movies in there, and, you know, I cherish them. I love watching his movies at any chance we can get, besides watching them, obviously, for this podcast.
For sure, for sure. And, like, you know, your love of film, we're still surrounded by it today. You mentioned your DVDs, your posters. Now, no Hoffman posters here, but you've brought them with you to your
yes, my
big
current
boy
abode, yes.
Yeah. So, just to recap, these mid-month things are just, you know, us chatting about Hoffman news or stuff on our mind, Hoffman-related, and, of course, announcing the winners of our, I don't want to call it a contest, but just, like,
no, but just a little, the vote, you guys, you're, you know, what's a voting saying? I don't know.
Vote or die. That was awesome. we put it out there every month for you guys to vote for a film for us to rewatch, and you've been doing a great job. Really, really appreciate you guys, you know, taking the time out, and, well, I guess it doesn't take a lot of time to pick a movie, but we appreciate it because there's so many things to click on the internet that we appreciate that you click at least one of the other two choices.
Yeah, you showed up on Instagram, Facebook, and or Twitter, and showed your love of at least Philip Seymour Hoffman, but quite possibly our show as well, who knows?
Yeah, maybe. But before we get into the vote, any Hoffman things come up this month or any?
Well, we mentioned it on the Moneyball episode, right? That he was on an episode, or he was mentioned on an episode of WTF Mark Maron's podcast, and it was because of his guest Amy Sedaris. And yeah, so
yeah, that was great. You know, I got to really listen to it, and I mean, she's super funny. She's super awesome.
Yeah, it was a great conversation between the two of them.
Yeah, because they had apparently known each other way back when.
Yeah, from HBO early HBO days.
I feel like Mark Maron, like obviously a podcasting god. I don't know why I'm super Jackson.
I don't know. But yeah, he would be on the Mount Rushmore of podcasting.
Yeah, and I don't know. I haven't listened to a ton of Mark Maron, admittedly. Like, I've listened to episodes of celebrities that
you enjoy, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy, yeah. But I'm not, like, a week-to-week person. But every time I listen, I feel like he always has, like, some kind of relationship with the person. Like, oh, yeah, I knew you from this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I knew you from that. You know?
Mark Maron has, like, that guy feel.
Yeah, definitely. I liked in the episode, it wasn't Hoffman-related, but when he's talking about, like, the house he bought, like, you know.
Yeah.
I bought it for the garage, and now I can't. But, no, but she actually talks about, you know, they were friends. They only on screen were, he's briefly in Strangers with Candy, the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, has one or two lines. And
but we kind of wondered why, and it's not said there, but they both lived in the West Village. You know?
Yeah, they lived in West Village.
They probably came up in the same, like, play scene.
Yeah, both, you know? Like, theater people, yeah.
And she was saying how they would go over each other's houses and just play, like, weird games.
Like. Yeah, silly games, like, yeah, she says that you pretend like you're sleeping and I'll be stuck underneath you and try to get out without waking you up. But he is awake, he's just pretending to be asleep. So just, like, it honestly sounds like something like a toddler.
Yeah,
like
kids
a
games,
kid
it was all like hide-and-seek
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so you're asleep now, yeah. And I'm gonna escape. And silly things like that.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. I mean, yeah.
What was the other one, the broken plates?
Yeah, they had, like, a...
She said supposedly like someone was very, like, a peeping Tom.
Yeah, she called them a peeping Tom.
Nearby. They said a couple of things, her and Marc Maron in that episode, that I was like, oh, wow, like, just as far as people being sensitive today, and just, like, some of the, you know...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some...
Words, phrases yeah, word. That they're throwing around, that I was like, okay, all right.
But she actually, like, the topic of Philip Seymour Hoffman came up because... she said she visited a medium because she had a sister who was deceased.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't really know anything about ghosts and mediums. I was watching Movie Haunted tonight. But she said that Philip Seymour Hoffman was coming through and speaking to her.
Yeah.
Which was scary.
Yeah, I mean, the great unknown, and that's, I don't know. I mean, he was never... I never knew, I mean, not that I still even, we have a whole podcast about him, but it's not like I know a lot about, like, he wasn't someone that shared his beliefs and that kind of stuff.
No, he's a very private guy.
Yeah, okay, so.
My question is this to you. If a medium, you were to visit a medium or a medium were to visit you, I don't know how this works, but there's
I'd ask him if he likes the podcast.
Okay, so, so your one question to Philip Seymour Hoffman would be, hey, have you heard the podcast?
Have you heard about the podcast?
About your life? Not really your life, but movies that you did? Like,
what would I... I don't... I mean, no, I would... Not to, like, be, like, all Mr. Selfless, but I'd be, like, for some reason, if I'm in, like... I'd be, like, is there anything you want me to tell your loved ones?
And even then, like... And he's like, how do you know them? Would they believe you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so then I'd be like, all right, so what's going on up there? Or down there, or around there, or across there? I don't know.
I would be like, were the rumors that you were going to play the penguin true?
I almost did like a like penguin like that. So that was unintentional.
Oh, I really wish he played the penguin though.
Yes and no.
I think it would have been cool because I think he would have added. It would have been like a different type of. I'm not
supposedly,
you know,
he wasn't going to be like that. Like the third, we're talking about The Dark Knight Rises, and supposedly it was going to be very. Still Joker and Harvey Dent related.
Which is fine. I wouldn't want him to be like... Not that I wouldn't want him to, but I didn't need him to be like a cartoonish lead villain
no.
or anything.
Yeah.
You're bigger into the Nolan Batmans than I am.
Yeah.
Not again, this doesn't need to become a Christopher Nolan hate fest, but...
Then he would have just been like similar to his like Mission Impossible 3 character.
Which I love.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
That's one we should put on the poll maybe in the next couple of months.
It's a good summer blockbuster.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
I also want to just rewatch it again.
Yes.
Oh, man.
What's your name?
So last time, Ethan. I'm sure you didn't do your homework, hashtag high school slumber party, but last time I asked you if there was any kind of roles now that you could have seen Philip Seymour Hoffman be in any movies that you saw this month, and you said you would think about it and get back to me. I'm sure you didn't do your homework.
No, I didn't do my homework. Can you give me 5 minutes in the hallway to...
No, I mean, you don't have to make it a stretch. If it didn't come to you, it didn't come to you. It's fine. Just say, keep an eye out for movies that come out today that you think, Phil would have been good there, you know?
Yeah.
Now, that's a question for you guys out there, too. If you ever see a movie that is really like, wow, Hoffman would have killed it in that role. It's hard to see. It's hard to see because he's so unique, you know?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of... Yeah.
I mean, we kind of talked about it on the Moneyball that, like, he could have been in Foxcatcher.
Yeah. That's definitely... But that's even, like, a...
Not much of a stretch.
Yes, I'll homework for... 2 weeks from now.
Fair. Oh, so the two movies this week that we put on the ballot were Almost Famous and Talented Mr. Ripley. Both really, really good films.
Tommy, 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 Tommy.
Now, which, I'm not going to ask which film that you're favoring, because, you know, whatever, it is what it is, because both are good films, because honestly, I'm not favoring either. But what would you theoretically, before we reveal the vote, look forward to about each film, if that's what we are indeed summoned to see again by the Hoff fans?
So, Talented Mr. Ripley, you know, that's a fun ensemble. I like seeing him, you know, the buddiness with Jude Law. You know, I'll just speak in the realm of Philip Seymour Hoffman. So his like elitist ways with Dickie
yeah.
Greenleaf, Dickie. And just him and Tom.
Great gifts. Is it GIFs? GIFs? I'm
going to say GIFs. I don't know, yeah.
Great GIFs online for...
Yeah, just the, yeah, like, the piano. Yeah. Yeah, you can't see what we're doing right now.
Like the, there was a couple other ones, too. Like, him on the boat. Like.
Yeah. So, just... I mean, there's...
He's so blonde in that film.
Yeah. And... So, yeah, just some... I mean, between the boat scene and then the... Then his, spoiler alert, death scene. Those are so good. But Almost Famous... you know... I mean, that's also, again, like, there's a lot more going on in that film than just Lester Bangs, but he's such a gospel of that movie. And
yeah,
like
he
an,
really
and,
is.
And an anchor to the love of that music and, like, what Cameron Crowe, like, I think, I mean, Cameron, clearly the, I'm totally blanking on the kid's name, but, you know, the main character that's like based off of Cameron Crowe's like early
life.
What
is the kid's name in that film? I guess maybe we'll find out if that's what it is.
But
the actor's like Patrick Fujita, something like that.
But even though he's like that character is young Cameron Crowe, I think Cameron Crowe almost more associates with like Lester Bang in that movie.
I could see
at that.
At that
point, just being, like, being the older like, yeah. character, and just, like, the mentor, and so there's something really special there, and, I mean, Iggy Pop, amen, so.
Iggy Pop, amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, both really awesome films, both very quotable films.
Yes.
And last time, at least I saw, but last time we... talked about Almost Famous. We did. It was a live episode.
In terms of Chicago.
Yeah, for not for no reason, but like it wasn't for any podcast reason that we were
no.
in Chicago, Chi-Town.
Should have been L.A. or New York if it was for the film. But it was...
you're a big traveler. Have you been away lately? I can't remember.
You were
in New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. Yeah.
It was your last big trip?
You were in Mexico.
Yeah, I was just in Mexico. Very nice country, beautiful land.
Donkey shows are great.
No, I did not see a donkey show, okay. And that's not why I went to Mexico.
No, you went for...
I went for a wedding.
Amor.
Buda. Yeah, but I took a couple days in Mexico City as well, and that was super fun.
Yeah, that's...
Good food, but again, surprisingly great cocktail scene.
Like, ooh, like now we're getting to foodie films.
Yeah, this is foodie film stuff, you know, but yeah. No, I just wanted to catch up with you, see what was going on, but... Honestly, I scoured the internet. There were some bullshit articles on Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like, just gossip rags shit.
Which is just incredulous to me. I mean, shouldn't be, because we see, you know, the leader of our country doing it all the time. Not to get political. But, why are there still, like, any kind of slanderous things? Like, you know, he passed away 5 years ago. It's not even slander. I don't know. It's just hearsay. It's
yeah,
more,
gossip.
Gossip.
Like that scene in Doubt with the feathers. Gossip.
Yes.
This is gossip.
Yeah, so, I mean, leave our guy alone. Leave his family alone.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to, you know, again, his sister and his mother. I hope we didn't trick her with our April Fools.
Oh, I felt bad. We should mention that.
Yeah, so we always talk about Shula.
I'm very glad you brought that up, because I did want to address that. So I don't know. I thought we would do an April Fool's joke.
I don't like April Fool's. It gets me all cringy.
And I'm like, what's an obvious one? Because I agree with you. I don't like super tricking people or getting people's hopes up.
Yes.
And I said, what's one that's like pretty obvious?
And that's what happens on April Fool's a lot now in pop culture. like the people will, like, be like, oh, this is good, like this sequel, or I don't know, something, or like a fake release of, I don't know, whatever.
I like, but silliness, April Fools.
I 100% get what you're doing in the sense of how much we've talked about Shula and how hard it is, and just all the things we would love to learn about the production and his role and how he got onto it. And so you posted something saying...
So Shuler, though, if you're, you know, you're late to the show, was, might be his first film, one of his first films, that, like, he went away to Poland.
Yeah.
And I actually asked his sister about this, and she's like, I really don't know about the film, but I know he went to Poland for a little bit, or Europe.
And this whole thing, so even his family, like, really doesn't, you know...
I don't know if they've ever even seen it, and she sent a picture of him back with, like, a Polish t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, so we know it. Wait, we saw him in the film. I don't even know if we could still stream it. We saw a copy of it that was, like, edited down and...
And dubbed over.
Dubbed over in Polish. Yeah. But it's a Polish film with English. It's funny to see. And we put it together as best we could. I can sufficiently say... That's why I say with this podcast, we've done something that I don't think anyone has done besides maybe him. Maybe. Is that seen all his films because of Shuler.
Yeah.
That was a really, really tough one to get. Even Joey Breaker, which you have on VHS.
Yeah.
Probably here, right?
Yeah, it's on over there somewhere.
Was tough to see, but this one was almost impossible. So I thought it's such an obscure movie that, as a joke, instead of saying Moneyball came out April 1st, so let's say Shuler came out April 1st.
In like a high def version. Or something like that, yeah.
That we rewatched Shuler. Shuler. And maybe 2 or 3 hours later, I put that it was an April Fool's joke. I didn't, like, let it linger the whole day or not say anything. It wasn't that long. But I noticed that Marilyn O'Connor is her name, and she's actually a really good movie reviewer. She has a Facebook page called Marilyn at the Movies.
That's awesome, yeah.
And she actually liked the Shuler post. Not the April Fool's one, the one before April Fool's. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then you're like, what if we tricked her?
Yeah, I just really hope...
Got her hopes up. Tricked sounds like it's, like, you know... silly, you know. I'm talking about, like, what if we got our hopes up about something?
Yeah, just, you know, you have to imagine it would be nice for anyone that, including us, but anyone that loves him to get to see him.
Yeah, and then I felt bad, so I apologize for that. That was all me, guys. Apologize for the April Fool's jokes. And to Ms. O'Connor specifically, I don't think you're listening, but if you ever were to listen, it was not intended as a joke because, you know, we love the Hoffman catalog.
Yeah.
And like you said, we would so love to see a frickin' edition of Shuler.
Yeah.
And anyone who's listened to the show, like you said, it wasn't like, aha, this is a joke. Like, no, this, like, is like, it's like the holy grail for us, Shuler.
Yeah, this is... It's a very interesting story and something that I would love to learn more about.
If we found a good copy of Shuler, I would not even have a vote that month. I'd be like, that's what we're doing next month.
Yeah, we're not doing a vote thing. Yeah, we're doing, yeah.
Yeah, because it was an April Fool's joke to us because we want it, you know?
Yeah.
We need it. Another thing that I remember that I wanted to bring up this week was last month we discussed the Oscar things and that movie Beautiful Boy.
Yes.
We discussed how the filmmaker was inspired by Philip Seymour Hoffman's life, and I finally saw the movie.
It was
very, very good. I saw it on the plane actually coming back from Mexico. It was very, very good. Very emotional film, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a funny haha Steve Carell film.
No.
It really made me question if I wanted to even have a kid, you know?
Wow.
Because...
That's heavy.
No, I mean, because... That is such a struggle if you, you know, I hate to say that. Like, and in the end of the day, it didn't, like, turn me off from having a child.
Yeah.
But it makes you realize it might be the hardest thing in the world to be a parent.
Oh, yeah, just, like, the amount of, I mean, you can do your absolute best and just, I mean, there's plenty of things out there that can happen, whether it's a choice or not even a choice. So you just, I mean, you know, like, you can't understand the mind of a parent and the heartache of a parent until you are a parent.
Especially, yeah, if you have a kid or you know somebody even who's going through this struggle of drug abuse, you know, and addiction, I should say. Addiction. Look, I don't know it. I can't explain it, but it's so damn tough and it's so damn hard.
Well, I'll have to check out that film.
Yeah. You definitely should. And like that, I was thinking about Hoffman the entire time. Like, just how really tough that is. Again, it's not an easy watch. I can say that,
no.
You know? Like, oh, let's pop this in on a Saturday, you know?
Yeah. Just for a flight back from Mexico.
Yeah. Well, you know. It is what it is. So I guess, though, you know, let's add a little bit of levity, because, well, I don't know if Talented Mr. Ripley is a film of levity, but I would say Almost Famous is.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like, sick, twisted levity moments in Talented Mr. Ripley.
Fair, fair.
But yeah, no, but yeah, Almost Famous has a lot of fun moments that you get to laugh and enjoy the moments with almost like the characters.
So let's see, our winner is Almost Famous.
Almost Famous. I mean, it makes sense. We put up two great films, two great performances by PSH, but it makes sense that Almost Famous came out on top.
I think that I think that was second place for our original poll when we put up five movies.
Yeah, I think
I know
so
it was close.
Yeah, it's one of those films that I mean, I know it's a period piece, but it's a timeless film.
Both are period pieces.
Yes, but I'm just since it won, I'm saying. But yeah,
it's such a great coming of age film, and you know, technically a high school film I'm excited to watch it again. So definitely excited for that film, Almost Famous, April 1st, and for you guys, April 1st. Almost Famous, May 1st. May the 1st be with you.
It's May the 4th.
I know.
Be with you.
Wah, wah. No, but May 1st, we can't really wait to rewatch it and just like, ugh. Like, I'm very excited about this one.
Yeah, this is fun because we never did like the first like traditional episode in a way, because it was like we were doing a Facebook Live, so now we're doing this. So it's gonna be a fun movie to watch together and dissect. So
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And thank you, Hoff fans out there, for voting. Again, really appreciate it. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter,
Instagram,
Facebook. I always want to say MySpace. And, you know, we love the fan interaction. And, you know, comment away.
Yeah.
Because we're going to read them.
Yeah, get ready for Almost Famous. Find us some fun facts and maybe fun pictures. I don't know. Find us some stuff about Almost Famous. Share that. Be our groupies. Or, I'm sorry, our Band-Aids.
Yes, our Band-Aids. Yeah. You know, this is a very important distinction.
Yes.
So, Kyle, while we're here, while we're talking, what's been going on with Foodie Films?
Oh, Foodie Films, we're still, we're sizzling. We're, you know, keeping a nice boil right now. And, had some great episodes. In a cool... You know, we're doing the 1 week podcast, 1 week video, but then even with the podcast, it's like every other podcast is like a movie review, and then kind of like episodes I'm calling first cut episodes, and that's where I'm talking to people that are pretty prominent in the food industry. So I've had some great guests thus far. Definitely released so far is Pat LaFrieda of, you know, LaFrieda Meat Purveyors, and then Chef Paul Denimille of Le Ravage on Restaurant Row. You know, in New York City, and so those are great episodes. Some more are coming, have been recorded, and are coming your way. So those again are called the first cut episodes. Just a little title I decided to give them since they're different, because we're not talking a specific food centric movie. We're talking about these people's careers, but then we still throw in a couple of fun scenes. So with Pat, we talked gangs in New York, like, this is a wound, this is a kill. And then the Daddy, Would You Like Some Sausage, two very different scenes from Freddy Got Fingered.
Okay, yeah.
And then with Paul, We talked the Charlotte Russe from Once Upon a Time in America, and then we talked the, I don't know how to describe it, the Indian Palace
in the
dinner. Yeah, Indian in the cupboard. Indian, like, palace creepy food scene in Temple of Doom.
Oh.
Like the monkey brains and the snake and
yeah,
the bugs.
I wasn't even thinking about
and
that.
And so
scene.
Very, again, I'm almost, I think with these, I mean, these guys are like deciding, but, or, you know, they'll suggest and I'll be like, ooh, yeah, I do like that because I love talking to very different scenes. So with that one, you know, it was the Charlotte Russe, just this decadent, you know, pastry and the cream and just like absolute enjoyment. And then the kid, long story short, decides to eat that over receiving a sexual favor, and then you go to Temple of Doom and they're starving and they're so hungry, and then just absolute very, you know, discouraging exotic food put in front of them.
I don't know why, but it made me think of that scene in Pirates of the Caribbean when they're like, she's eating on the ship and then he starts eating and it goes through their body because it reveals that.
Oh yeah,
gotta add that to your—
that's a good one. Yeah, the apple, that's all he wants, right?
Yeah.
So how about High School Slumber Party?
Still slumbering it up. We're coming up on a year.
Wow, mazel tov, good things.
Yeah, just around about, you know, a couple weeks, it'll be a year. And we're going to have a special thing. I haven't decided what I'm doing for the actual year special yet, but you guys will find out soon. Still talking about high school movies. Can't wait to continue talking about high school movies. We had a two-part on Hackers recently.
Ooh, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, she's great in that film. Very underrated film. I liked it a lot, actually.
I haven't watched that in a long time.
No one has.
So I'll have to watch and listen to that episode.
Yeah, definitely. Check out Hackers. Check out... we have an Olsen twin movie coming out. New York
Ooh,
Minute.
Nice. In a New York Minute.
Wait, I think we talked about this because I'm pretty sure you sang that song.
Probably the last time too. Sorry, guys. Like, I'm just, I am a broken jukebox, okay?
Were you an Olsen twin fan growing
yes.
up? Like, oh, you thought they were hot, or...
I mean, I thought they were, like...
Or you like
they're
It Takes
a
Two.
Year older than us.
Yeah.
Maybe a year and a half, two. Something like that.
But, like, you like It Takes Two and stuff.
Yeah, I liked It Takes Two. But I remember being upset that we went to go see It Takes Two, my mom, my sister, and I missed Newsies playing on TV, and it didn't record onto like VHS or something.
Newsies. Yeah. Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Did you watch like the side Olsen Twin projects?
No, only the ones that like played on ABC. Like, I remember there was one Halloween one, and there was also, what's the...
Double Double Toil and Trouble.
Double Double Toil and Trouble. Yeah. And then the, what's the play on the Western one?
Oh, How the West Was Fun.
Yeah, How the West Was Fun. Yeah.
And look at us, talking about Olsen twin films.
Look at you, knowing exactly what those are.
I just did a podcast on it, and we talked about it. Phil, if you're up there.
Exactly.
I apologize.
That's the question. Why'd you ever do something with the Olsen twins?
Imagine you waste your question on that.
I'm a big fan of them.
Oh man, you know what, guys, though, if you have any Philip Zimmer Hoffman stuff you want to share, or again an answer to that Medium question, let us know. We're dying to, you know, share it.
And... yeah. And I mean, listen to our conversation, I guess. Just remember, stay uncool.
Stay uncool.
I believe in miracles. Where you from? You sexy thing, you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you sexy thing. I needed you so